On the World Trade Center. I remember where I was at that moment. I remember who I was with. I remember exactly how I responded to that news and to that event. And then you fast forward 24 years, 23 years, and last year, 1 year ago, actually this week, on October the 7th, Israel was attacked by a terrorist group known as Hamas. 1,200 Israelis were killed during that attack, just at a music festival, just having a great time, great day, and then the terrorists came in and attacked. And having visited Israel in 2014 and spent about 8 days on the ground over there, ever since that trip, I have been more sensitive and more in tune with the things that take place in Israel. It just felt different on October the 2nd. And the reason that I remember this day so vividly is because I was in Hyderabad, India, training some first-generation pastors that had converted from Hinduism to Christianity. And the day before, I had a connection flight in Qatar to Hyderabad, India. What's such a big deal about that? Well, the leader of Hamas lives in Qatar. And so it just really brought it all close to home for me. Why am I telling you guys this? Why is this important? Why do I deem this to be important? Because as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, we should be concerned about what's happening in Israel. Not only right now, but always. We should be concerned. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about why Christians should stand with Israel. We've heard, "I stand with Israel," for years. Shirts are made, flags are made, flown. "I stand with Israel," or "we stand with Israel." Now, let me explain what that means or should mean to you as a Christian, as we stand with Israel. It doesn't mean that we are supporting and standing with the government of Israel. Listen, all countries have good governments, good leaders and bad leaders. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying when we stand with Israel, we are standing and supporting the people of Israel, the Israeli people. You see, what makes a country a sovereign country is not the government, it's the people. Listen, I stand and support the United States of America, but I don't always agree with the government. I don't always stand with the government, amen? But I stand and I support the United States of America. It's we the people, not we the government. And this is true for Israel. When we stand with Israel, ladies and gentlemen, we are standing with the Jewish people. We're side by side spiritually in our hearts with them as they go through these attacks, as they are living out these events. And so let me explain to you real quickly why we as Christians should do this. Number one, these are real simple. Number one, the Jews are God's chosen people. Verse 2 of our text says, God said to Abraham, he said, "I will make you a great nation." Then in Jeremiah 30, verse 22, God said to Jeremiah, he said, "Communicate this to the people. You shall be my people, and I will be your God." You see, God chose, folks, the Jewish people to be a blessing to the world. We don't always understand. We don't have to understand. God didn't tell us that we would understand. We just got to trust God. He said, these are my people. These are the ones I've chose, and these are the ones I've chose to bless, and these are the people that I've chose to bless the nations of the world. Now, verse 3 says, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Will be. That's future tense. That means today that we can be blessed, and we are blessed, and I'm about to show you why. In one way, by God's chosen people, the Jewish people. It wasn't until, you know, it was probably 4,000 years ago that God made this promise to Abraham that he would be, that there would be a great nation come out of his bloodline. It wasn't until May 14th, 1948. That Israel became a nation, a recognized country. And ever since that time, 75 years, Israel has led the world in important advancements in things like agriculture, the environment, science, technology, and medicine. Let me just give you some things that you probably don't know that had it not been for the Jewish people, we would not have. Drip irrigation. They invented the drip irrigation system that's used in commercial agriculture. That they say that this limits disease to the plant. And this is the most economical and best and safe way to mass produce vegetation and vegetables and fruits. And if you ever get a chance, in which, by the way, we will, once things are made available, we will travel, we will take a group, and we will take a trip to Israel, because I believe every Christian ought to do that if at all possible, because it'll change your life, it'll change the way you live. But if you go there, you've got an imagination, you know what you picture Israel to look like. And I will tell you this, the southern half of Israel looks exactly the way you got pictured. Desert, rocky, blah. That's where Jerusalem is. But the northern part, it's like they drew a line about midways. The northern part is the most beautiful agriculture you'll ever see. It looks like a painting. It looks like a photograph. It is so pristine. It is so, I mean, it is just so incredibly immaculate and well done. And so they have invented the drip irrigation system. They invented the very first microprocessor for personal computers. Steve Jobs didn't do that. Bill Gates didn't do that. There would be no personal computers without the Jewish people. They invented the first firewall that prevents, data breaches and helps protect the data on your computer. Hey, here's one. They invented the thumb drive. The thumb drive. These are just practical things we just take for granted. I know this firsthand from my father used this. They invented the pill cam. It's a camera that you swallow that detects any disease in your digestive system rather than having invasive surgery to go in and to check. This thing you swallow and it takes thousands and thousands of pictures of your digestive tract, and it sends the signal back to the doctor, and they're able to track any troubled areas. And they have invented, it's called the ReWalk. And what it is a battery-powered exoskeleton that allows disabled people to walk again. And all from the Jewish people. If this is your first time, maybe you use this last one that I'm going to list to get here. They invented the Waze app. The Waze app that helps us navigate around the world. It started in Israel. They used it there, and they invented it there. And listen, these are just a very, very few. This is not even the tip of the iceberg of what the Jewish people have invented. Pastor, why do you say all that? Because it makes life better. They have made life better through the inventions and the knowledge that they have been given to make life better for all of us. You see, Jews are God's chosen people. And the world is a better place because of the Jews. Now, let me be fair. I was raised in a culture, in a generation that always referenced the Jews in a negative connotation. I mean, they would even call people that name, a Jew, as a just a backhanded slap, as a bad thing. And I think that it's just misguided information, because preachers over the years that stand up and say, no, you got it all wrong. But they think that Jews are bad because they crucified Jesus. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. I love what John Adams, our second president of the United States, says about the Hebrew people, the Jewish people. He said, I will insist the Hebrews have contributed more to civilized men than any other nation. If I was an atheist and believed in blind eternal fate, I should still believe that fate had ordained the Jews to be the most essential instrument for civilizing the nations. They are the most glorious nation that ever inhabited this earth. The Romans and their empire were but a bubble in comparison to the Jews. They have given religion to 3/4 of the globe and have influenced the affairs of mankind more and more happily than any other nation, ancient or modern. So why should we stand with the Jews? They're God's people. They're God's chosen people. Number two, we should stand with the Jews because we're God's children. As Christians, we are God's children. Galatians 3, verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 29 of Galatians 3, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. Now, the reason that this, I'm really driving these home, folks, is because there's some confusion because of maybe some how the leaders of Israel or the leaders over are handling and doing situations. Listen, that shouldn't weigh on our decision to support the Jewish people. And I'm going to explain that a little bit more of why that shouldn't affect us. But look, if you are in Christ, if you are a Christian, then you are a child of God. If you are, if you belong to Christ, then look, you're related to Abraham. It says you are an heir to God's promises. And if you're related, if you're an heir, if you're a child of God, and you are related to Abraham, and you're an heir to those, to the promises, then therefore, we're related to the Jewish people. Spiritually speaking as well, we are related to the Jewish people. Romans 8 and 15, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to the fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. In other words, Daddy. We get to call God Daddy because we have been adopted into the family. We have rights to everything that the Jewish people have rights to, because we have been adopted as Gentiles who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And a Gentile represents unbelievers, but because we place our faith, we have become a son, we become daughters of God. Therefore, we are heirs, equal, co-equal heirs to the promises of God. How many of you have any adopted children in your family? Oh, look, praise God. Do they get any less treatment or less benefits than your biological children? No. Equal. Equal. And so, we are related to the Jewish people. They are families. And look, John Stott, this is what he says about being in Christ and belonging to Christ and being a child of God. It says, it enables me to answer the most basic of all human questions. Who am I? And to say, in Christ, I am a son of God. In Christ, I am united to all the redeemed people of God, past, present, and future. In Christ, I discover my identity. In Christ, I find my feet. In Christ, I come home. So folks, we should, as Christians, we should stand and support Israel because they're God's chosen people. We should stand and support them because we're children of God. We're family with the Jews. And then thirdly, Israel is God's country. Israel is God's country. Verse 1, the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land which I will show you. God said to Abraham, all right, son, he said, take your family and you're gonna leave everything you've known. You're gonna leave the country that you've always known, the Ur of the Chaldeans. And he said, I'm gonna give you some land. I'm going to lead you to some property, to some land that I'm going to give you, and this will become its very own country. Leviticus 25:23, God says this, the land, moreover, shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine. For you are but aliens and sojourners with me. Ladies and gentlemen, the country of Israel, that landmass, that's God's country. That's God's specific country. Now, listen, Psalm 24 verse 1 says that the whole earth is God's and all that dwells in it. But listen, for reasons only known to God, he has chosen this parcel of land, this country of Israel, to be a special place of operation for him to fulfill his purposes. We don't have to understand it. We probably will never understand it. But God said, these are my people. This is my country. This is my land. It gave me a new perspective when I was studying this week about what David said in Psalm 23, verse 5. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. If you look at the map, what you may already know this, but Israel, this little small country about the size of New Jersey, is surrounded by enemies. Has been, always will be. If a president, male or female, it don't matter. If a leader, a world leader says there will be peace in Israel, that's a lie. There will never be peace in the Middle East, ladies and gentlemen. It goes all the way back to when Abraham broke he was disobedient to God when God promised him and Sarah, who was barren, by the way, that they would have a son, and out of that son, he would make this seed go about and create this nation. Well, they got impatient, And years had went by, and God still hadn't gave them a son. So they get the bright idea. Sarah does. Gets the bright idea and says, "Hey, Abe, listen, I still ain't pregnant. And listen, time's running out. So why don't you have relations with the maid?" And Abraham said, "Sounds like the Lord's will to me." And so Ishmael was born. Ishmael represents the Arab nation. So the Jews and the Arabs have the same father, Abraham. But because Ishmael, the Arabs, were born out of disobedience, the Bible says that they will be a donkey of a people. You will not ever tame them. They will always be enemies to one another. So the problem is they believe, the Arabs believe, and hey, listen, I'm being fair and best. I love them. I love them. In fact, next week, I will be preaching a two-day crusade in Sierra Leone, West Africa, to a mass of Muslims, Arabs, who have been, a revival's breaking out. 800 have converted to Christ in the last few days. Praise God, yes. So I can see where they couldn't help the way that it happened, that their nation, I mean, that their race came about, but it happened. And it happened outside of the will of God. So they feel like, hey, I'm the firstborn son, and so I'm entitled to that land. No, yes and no. Yes, he was the firstborn son, but he was born out of disobedience, and therefore, there'll never be peace in the Middle East because it's a consequence of Abraham's disobedience. So everything that we stand for and support with Israel, it is as a result of the promise of God, which comes through Abraham, through Isaac's seed, because God eventually allowed Sarah to get pregnant. Because let me tell you something, when God promises something, you can take it to the bank. There's nothing you can do to change it. He's going to do it. Even after that disobedience, he still blessed him with a son, and now we have the nation of Israel. And hence, we should stand with them because this land is God's country. Now, again, for reasons unknown to us, you just got to grasp that, because you're not going to agree with everything that we see physically and the decisions we see and all the stuff that we hear coming through the media that's going on that can be really confusing. Bottom line is we gotta stand with Israel and support Israel as Christians because they're God's people. We're Christians, so we're God's children. That's God's land. This is not my opinion. It's not United Nations opinion. It's the word of God's truth that this is God's land. And fourth, the reason we should do this is that this is a spiritual conflict. Verse 3 says, God says to the people, the Jewish people, he says, "I will curse those who curse you. I will curse those who curse you." Any time in the past and even in the future, should God delay his coming, any time there is an attack on Israel, there is a conflict in the country of Israel involving Israel, it is never about the physical, it's always spiritual. Always. Why do you think the country the size of New Jersey, when something takes place there, remember, this is ground zero, this is God's headquarters where he has chosen to birth his son Jesus and to send the gospel message and to save the world from that location. Why do you think when there's an attack on it or there's some kind of conflict in that little area that it impacts the whole world? It'd be like something happening in Georgia. People on the other side of the world, they don't know what's going on. You got a country the size of New Jersey, or let's say you got Georgia. They're over there, the size of New Jersey, surrounded by their enemy. It would be like Georgia and Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Florida are our enemies. And they wake up every day thinking, how can I wipe Georgia off the map? If you don't think God's got that country protected, you don't think God has got his hands in the midst of it, you don't think this is spiritual, they would have been wiped out a long time ago. A long time ago. And you got to remember, so it's never about the land. We may hear that, and that may be the intent from the people, but it's never about the oil. It's never about any of that stuff. It's always about good versus evil. It's always about that. Look, Ezekiel 38, verse 14 through 16, this is what God says to Ezekiel. He says, therefore prophesy, son of man, and say to God, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel are living securely, okay, will you not know it? You will come from your place out of the remote parts of the north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great assembly and a mighty army. And you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. Listen, here it is, don't miss it. It shall come about in the last days that I will bring you against my land. What is happening? This attack, God could have prevented it, but he allowed it. He's going to use it. And I'm going to explain that in a moment. So that the nations may know me when I am sanctified through you before their eyes, oh God. Now, what does this mean for us today? What does this prophecy mean for us today? Well, you got to look at the New Testament. Look at Luke chapter 21, verse 28. It says this, but when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. What things? What is he thinking? When these things, what things? Well, back up a few verses. Verse 23 says this, for there will be great distress upon the land. There's a great distress, ladies and gentlemen, upon the land of Israel. And now he's talking about that land. The land of Israel. There'll be great distress and wrath to this people, to the Jewish people. Verse 24, and they will fall by the edge of the sword. There'll be death. Now look right here. And will be led captive into all nations. Hostages. Hostages. Now look. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles, by the unbelievers. Folks, what we're seeing taking place, what's been taking place since October the 7th? What's been taking place since the beginning, but is winding up, is what we're seeing today is one of the final signs of Jesus' return. Our redemption is drawing near. The fifth one, why we should support Israel is Judaism gave us Christianity. Judaism gave us Christianity. Verse 2 says, and you shall be a blessing. Talking about the Jewish people. I talked a little bit about the things earlier that they've invented. And again, you go do the research. Like, it's countless things they've done. But look, of all those great things that they've done to make the world a better place to live, that God's gave them the wisdom, the knowledge, to understand all of this stuff that God has done through the Jewish people to make the world a better place, the greatest blessing to ever come from the people of Jesus, the Jewish people, is Jesus. He's the greatest gift, the greatest blessing that we have ever gotten was Jesus, because, ladies and gentlemen, never forget that Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. There would be no Christianity without Judaism. What is Judaism? Basically, it's the religion that the Jewish and Hebrew people lived by before Christ came. It's the same religion that the Pharisees followed. It is the Mosaic law. They lived by the law that you, in order to be right with God, you had to fulfill the law. And we've learned a few weeks ago, that's impossible. Jesus said, hey, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. So the law had its purpose, but Jesus would practice those things. He had to practice all those Jewish rituals in order to fulfill the law. So Jesus was a Jew, and he practiced Judaism, and once his ministry began, he began to teach us, okay, I fulfilled the law, and now let me show you a better way. John 4, verse 22. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, Samaritan woman, and he said, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. Who is our salvation? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we should stand and support Israel because Jesus was a Jew. And let me share a quote that David Horowitz said. Just think about it. He said, Israel is the canary in the mine. What happens to Israel will eventually happen to America itself. Whether you agree or disagree with what's taking place over there by way of the government's leadership, but again, for reasons only known to God, he said in Genesis 12, verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. He didn't say that our blessings, that the people that would bless his chosen people, the Jewish people, he didn't say that there was a prerequisite that only if you obey all of these things. No, he just said, whoever blesses you, I'll bless. Parents. What does it do to you when somebody does something special for your children? Where do you think we get that from? Like those people who do something special for our children, they hold a special place in our heart, right? You want to do something for them because they've done something for your children. The same thing with God. He said, whoever blesses you, my people, I will bless, but whoever curses you, I will curse. So wisdom says to me, wisdom says that we should stand with Israel, right? Because whoever blesses them, God blesses. But evidence says that we should stand and support Israel because they're God's chosen people, because we're Christians, God's children, because that land belongs to God. It is God's specific center of operation. It belongs to God. It's a spiritual conflict, and because Jesus was a Jew. Now, as we close, if you are in Christ, if you are a Christian, I strongly encourage you to support and stand with Israel. And I'm going to tell you the primary way we can do that in just a moment. So if you're in Christ, don't try to figure it all out. Don't. It's not about what they do or don't do. It's just about what God tells us to do. But if you're not in Christ, spiritually, you stand opposed to God. Therefore, you stand opposed to his people. So, as a result of the evidence that we see of Christ's soon return and the sign, one of the last signs we're seeing played out right now, that our Redeemer is drawing nigh, is drawing near. If you are not in Christ, if you don't know that you're right with God, I want you to nail that down. Last week we had three people give their life to Christ. This is a message on why we should stand with Israel, but the whole message is point two is because we are children of God. I want you to be a child of God. I want you to be a child of God. That's the message I want you to take away from here, is that you are an heir. I want you to be an heir with me. And I want you to be a brother or sister in Christ. So if you don't know that you're right with God, I want to give you that opportunity just for a moment with every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody's going to embarrass you. We would never do that. I realize that the spiritual opposition that takes place at a time like this where you realize that you may not be right with God, but you want to be, and then these feelings, these struggles, I don't know what to do, I'm afraid, I'm anxious, all these things, your heart starts racing. All of that is the enemy working to oppose what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life by way of trying to draw you to himself. And all you've got to do is overcome that by simply placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say a real simple prayer. I'm going to help you take that step and press on in and overcome those anxious feelings. I'm going to say a prayer, and you praying this prayer, just repeating it, is nothing. It doesn't do anything. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You praying this prayer will be your calling on the Lord for salvation. You realize right now that you're lost, and you're on your way to a place called hell because you don't have a relationship with Christ, but you're going to nail that down. You're going to call out to the Lord by way of this prayer. And if I'm speaking to you, I want you to pray like this. Just real simple. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm not right with you. Lord, I want to be. I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sin. I believe that 3 days later you rose from the dead. And I choose to believe that today you are present and alive, and I sense something stirring in me that says I need to give my life to you. And so I do that right now. I give you my life. Come into my life, Jesus, and save me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for living for me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. That's it. Nobody's going to embarrass you. That's it. If you prayed that prayer, you meant it. Don't expect certain feeling. It's about faith. If you prayed that prayer because you wanted to be right with God, you wanted to become a child of God, God supernaturally placed his spirit inside of you, and now you are a son or a daughter of God. All I want to do is celebrate with you. Not going to ask you to come up. I'm not going to do anything other than I can recognize you and celebrate with you from here. If you prayed that prayer, just hold your hand up real high. Just hold your hand up real high if you prayed that prayer. Anybody before we move on? Again, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to celebrate. I want to know who my new brother, my new sister is. Anybody? Just hold it up real high. Can we stand to our feet? I want to do something special. I told you I would show you one way that we can stand and support and bless Israel. Psalm 122 verse 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. The way we can express our love and support from our Jewish family, from our adopted family, from God's chosen people, is simply come before God. Come to the altar. Stand before God, kneel before God, get on your face before God, whatever you deem is appropriate. And let's just intercede, ladies and gentlemen, because what's taking place is spiritual. Yeah, you begin to make your way. What's taking place is spiritual. And God says he's going to do something special for the people who love and support Israel. I'm not expecting anything fit material or anything like that. I just know those are my brothers and my sisters in the Lord. And my heart goes out for them, and I want peace. I want to pray that they have peace in their life, even in the midst of this turmoil. So let's go. Team, you lead us, folks. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters in Israel.